I'd like to ask you to take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. This morning, we're going to continue our series we started several weeks ago entitled Meaningful Membership, which is a study on the biblical understanding of what it means to be a church member. We examined in our first sermon in this series the biblical basis of church membership. And then the second sermon, we looked at the first commitment concerning meaningful membership. Being a church member means fundamentally our first commitment is a commitment to attend the local church regularly. At the base of what it means to be a church member, you're saying, I formally want to belong to this church, and my first commitment is when this church gathers together regularly on Sunday morning, by all means possible, I will be a part of that local gathering. This morning, we're going to continue our study. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4 as we move on to our next understanding of a commitment that meaningful membership involves. While I was growing up from my childhood to my high school years, I was very involved with athletics, specifically basketball and football. With my love of athletics, there came a lot of trips to the hospital and, unfortunately, a lot of broken bones. If I can remember all of the different bones I broke and the times in which I broke them, I believe it was seventh grade football. I broke my right hand. Then it was in eighth grade basketball, I fractured my right ankle. Then it was in ninth grade football, fractured my left leg. Then in 10th grade off-season basketball, I fractured my right ankle again. And needless to say, I learned a lot of things about having broken bones. Number one, I learned they're not as fun as you think they are as a child. I remember when I would have friends coming to school with a brace or a cast, I'm like, man, that's so cool to have those crutch things and, you know, you get the special treatment. Well, after my first, second, third, and up to my fourth broken bone, I was like, man, I don't want anything to do with crutches or braces or trips to the physical therapist. So that was one thing I learned, but there was another thing that I learned. I learned that when you have a broken bone, you have members of your body that make up your whole body. And those members actually affect the health of the whole of your body, something I didn't realize early on. For example, when my right ankle was broken the first time, my right leg, because I was in a cast and a brace for so long, my right leg began to shrivel up some. I lost leg mass. And then because I could not use my right leg, I had to favor my left leg so much. And any of you who've ever had crutches or you've had to hop along because you couldn't put weight on an injured leg, you start to notice that the extra pressure, you're putting force on your joints in a way that they were not intended to have such force. So because my right ankle wasn't working, my right leg was suffering, and my left leg was suffering, and not to mention having those crutches under your arms and then the pain it puts on your wrist, all those things together, I realized that, put simply, my body did not function the way it should, and it wasn't growing the way that it should, because one of my members, which made up the whole, was injured, wasn't doing its part. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Paul compares the church, using an analogy, he describes it as the body of Christ. The body of Christ in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it describes the whole community of faith. Specifically, a local congregation that has covenanted together in a formal membership. The local church, as we see in this text, consists of individual members which make up the whole. And those individual members affect the whole of the body of Christ. We've looked at this passage before together when we were preaching on the doctrine of sanctification. And we learned at that point that as we look at this passage in its context, the central idea is that God gives the gift of spiritual leaders to his people so that ultimately the body of Christ might be built up. This word built up, which we see in verse 12, it's the goal that God has for the church. It's that the church might be built up. It's an architectural term. It pictures the process of constructing a structure. When it's used figuratively here for the local church, it speaks of edification. It speaks of the process of development and growth. The church is a living organism, and God expects that body to be growing and to be edified and built up in a certain way. For that growth to take place, for that development to happen, spiritual leaders, as we see in verses 11 and 12, they must do their part, but individual church members must also do their part as well for that kind of growth to take place. Just as individual members of our physical body affect the overall health, so do individual members of each church affect the overall health of that specific church. In the building up of the church, what I want to focus on this morning in terms thinking of church membership, for the church to be built up as God desires it to be, we see several responsibilities that church members have so that the church can be built up to grow and to become healthy. Hence the title of our sermon this morning, Committing to Build a Healthy Church. Church members, when they join a local church, Christians, when they join a local church, they're not only committing to attend regularly, but they're saying, I'm coming to be a part of this local congregation with the ultimate goal that this church might develop into everything that God wants it to become. So we're going to look at four responsibilities church members have in building a healthy church this morning after we read the passage together. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And he, referring to Christ, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, it causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Dear Father, we ask in your name that you will take this passage. God, help us to understand what our responsibilities are as individual church members to this local body. God, I pray no one leaves confused. I pray no one leaves with questions that are not answered, but you will help them to see these four responsibilities that individual church members play in building up a healthy church. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. The first responsibility we see in this text appears in verse 12 concerning a responsibility of church members in building up the local church. And that first responsibility is that church members have the responsibility to be serving members. If you look in the text, we see that Christ has given the gifts of the pastor, teacher to the local church for the equipping of the saints. God gives church leaders to the local church, and their task is to equip the saints. This word equip, it speaks of putting things in order that are out of order. It speaks of preparing someone or something to make them adequate, to make them complete, so that they're qualified for whatever work is before them. Church leaders bear the responsibility of raising up God's people because none of us have everything right in life the way it should be, but through our preaching and through our shepherding and through our training, we're to help church members to get those things situated in their life. For what purpose? Look at what the text says. They are to equip the saints for the work of service. This phrase, work of service, it speaks of the activities, deeds of ministry. It's basically referring to serving in the church. We see here that there are specific functions, specific activities and deeds that Christ expects his people to be a part of in each local church. Church members bear the responsibility not to simply be attenders, but also to be serving, functioning members. They're not to be men and women who only come to hear the Word of God preached, but they're to be men and women who, after hearing the Word of God, they're propelled to actually be doers of the Word of God. What we see in this text in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, it tells us for the body to be built up, first of all, leaders have to equip, and in their equipping, the saints, the church members, must actually be men and women of God who actually go to work in the church. You have to be active as a church member to contribute to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, let me give you some good news from the Word of God. The Bible tells us that God has graced us all with spiritual gifts, all of those of us who have turned from our sins and trusted in Christ. He's given us spiritual gifts that he expects us to use for his glory and the good of his church. The greatest gift that God has given to all of us is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not a thing, he's not an it, but he's the third person of the triune Godhead that upon our time, the time in our life when we turn from our sin and we understand what Christ has done for us and dying on the cross and rising from the dead and conquering sin and death, and we surrender our life to him, at that moment we have taking place what's called conversion. And the Holy Spirit of God, who convicted us of sin and convinced us of the truth of the gospel, he comes to dwell within us. Jesus told the first apostles, he said, I'm basically with you, but the Holy Spirit, once I return to the Father, he's going to be in you. That took place on the day of Pentecost when God the Father sent the Holy Spirit into this world to indwell his people. So we all have, those of us who have confessed Christ as Lord and Savior, we have God living within us. And he gives us power and he gives us understanding. But in addition to that, guess what the Holy Spirit does? According to his will, he gives us all at least one spiritual gift. Some of us get more than one, but all of us have at least one where we can use that gift in service to God. Pay attention to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 8. Listen to what Paul says. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, we are one body in Christ. And individually, we're members of one another. Now listen to what he says. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If it's prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If it's service, in his serving. Or the one who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who gives with all liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy to do it with cheerfulness. You see, Paul says that the body of Christ, again, is made up of members. We all have the same Holy Spirit, but we may have gifts that differ according to the gifts that the Holy Spirit has desired to give to us. When I think back to how those times when I was in casts and braces, I think back to how my body was impaired. I couldn't jump like I wanted to jump. I was a lot slower in all my movements. I wasn't feeling all that great because a part of the body that I needed was not working well. God has used that over the years, thinking back to those times of injuries, for me to just picture the local body of Christ. When you join the church, let's take Lakeland Baptist Church for example, and you formally say, I want to be a part of this body, I want to take responsibility for you, I want to come under the oversight of this church, and I want you to watch out for my discipleship, and you become a part of us, you actually are joined to us in a spiritual way. You're a part of this local body here that meets here at Lakeland Baptist Church. And I oftentimes think how the body of Christ is impaired. When God's people, number one, they're not being faithful to show up. Could you imagine what it would be like if you woke up one morning and your arm just decided to stay in the bed and it didn't go with you? I mean, think about Sunday morning. How many of you are arms in our congregation and you decide, well, I stayed up late, so I'm not coming to church this morning. The body's impaired. Or think about those of you who are the feet in this illustration, and you come to church, but yet you're not fulfilling your God-given design to actually be involved in the ministry of the church, and how we on Sunday morning, I picture the body of Christ just hobbling around. We can't move like we need to move because we don't have our feet working in the congregation. We are designed as a body with gifts that are to be employed in serving in some capacity. I want you to pay careful attention to this text. Chapter 4, verse 12. God has given pastor teachers to the church. Notice what he says, for the equipping of the saints. Saints here, it's not in the singular, but it's in the plural. All of God's people are to be equipped by the spiritual leaders. And all of God's people, therefore, are to not be on the sidelines, but they're actually to be in the game. They're to actually be a part of serving and working and ministering in the local church. Do you know what that means for you this morning if you're a believer in Christ? God's got a place for you here at Lakeland Baptist Church. There is something that every one of us in Jesus Christ can contribute. God wants you to be serving here in the church. Being a church member, it's not about coming to a church and saying, I'm just going to be a sitter. No, you're going to be a server. It's not about coming and saying, like so many people think today, I'm going to join that church and all I'm going to do is receive. I'm going to receive, receive, receive. No, being a church member is not merely about receiving, though you do get something from coming. But it's about you coming and understanding where God wants you to plug in, and you're going to be someone who gives. You're going to be someone who so loves the local church that you want to be a part of what God is doing here in the church. Back in high school, I had teammates in football who never got to go into the game. You felt sorry for them. They were too small. They just didn't have the athletic ability. Coach allowed them to be on the team, but they rarely ever got to go in the game. Though they contributed in practice, they just didn't get to go in much. But there would be times, if we were so behind in the game, there's no way we could catch up. Or if we were actually ahead in the game, that coach would call one of the starters out, and he would send one of those guys in that mostly had to sit the bench. And I remember this one guy. He was not gifted with weight. He was not gifted in size. Very short little dude on our team. And there was an opportunity where coach sent him into the game. And I'm telling you, he didn't have but just a few seconds left on the clock. Man, he ran up to coach and he's like, yeah, I'm ready to go in, coach. And coach sends him into the game. And he goes out there and I believe he got a tackle in that game. And after the clock expired, he comes back to the sideline. He was so excited that he actually got to do something with the team. And he made a play. I want every Christian here at Lakeland Baptist Church who's a member of this church to say, before the clock expires, before God calls my number and he brings me home to be with him, I want to get in on what God is doing at the church, and I want to serve, and I want to stand before him as someone who was faithful to use the gifts that he gave me in serving my brothers and sisters in Christ. My friend, he wanted to get into that game because of the love of football. I pray all of us here want to get in on what God's doing because of our love for Jesus. Because we love Jesus Christ and we want to make our lives count for Jesus. You say, well, what does that mean for me this morning? Number one, it means coming to church faithfully. I spent a whole sermon focusing on this, but you can't serve if you don't come to church faithfully. You can't be counted on if you're not here faithfully. So your first commitment is to be a regular attender at Lakeland Baptist Church. And I didn't mention this last time in my sermon from Hebrews chapter 10, but if there's ever a time you're away and you can't make it to Lakeland, you're on a job assignment, or you're on vacation, you plan ahead. and you, by all means necessary, you find a local church, a Bible-believing church that you can be a part of during your time away. Just because you're not here means you get to take a vacation from Jesus. Understand? All right, find a church even when you're not here. Number one, you want to be here to be equipped. Number two, what you hear in Sunday school that is taught, what you hear preached from the pulpit on Sunday mornings, the opportunities we give for training and involvement, don't just listen to those things, but actually apply them to your life. The Word of God is not merely meant to be heard. It is to be applied. It does you no good if you open your Bible and read it, or if you come to a sermon and you listen to it and you leave unchanged. It's as if you never sat under the Word of God, because God is wanting you to actually take it and apply it to your life. So be equipped. Attend church. Number two, apply what you're learning. And then number three, we want to give you all an opportunity to get involved here at Lakeland. And there's one ministry in our church that is growing at such a rapid pace, and that's our children's ministry. We have a lot of needs in our children's ministry area. God is growing this ministry from within and from without. Morgan Goodrow, I want to invite her to come on stage with me this morning. Is Morgan here? There she is, to my right here. Morgan is our children's ministry minister here at Lakeland Baptist Church. Just want to brag on her a minute. She's working on her PhD at Southwestern in family ministries. She knows children's ministry. She's got a heart for our families, and she's got a heart for the children here at Lakeland Baptist Church. And I wanted to give her just a couple of minutes to share with all of you what kinds of ministries we have going on Sundays and Wednesdays with children. And then I want her to just share from her heart the needs that we have, the people, the volunteers we need to help meet those needs in children's ministry. So Morgan, share a little bit with us about Wednesday and Sunday of ministry and children's ministry.
And so I'll just briefly, thank you, tell you guys about what our volunteers are currently doing. And so like Pastor said, we are growing, and we're growing from within mostly, so good job parents and our Sunday school teachers, whatever y'all are teaching on that third floor. And so one of our needs for that is we really need to open a second nursery room for all these babies that we've had to come in. But in order to do that, we need volunteers to step up and be willing to love on our newest members of Lakeland Baptist Church. And so there's one need there. But on Sunday mornings, we have Sunday school, and then we have our preschool care in second hour. And so all those take a surplus of volunteers and a lot of people willing to come and serve at least an hour a month, which I don't think is too much to ask. And then on Wednesday nights, I'm really excited about our Wednesday night ministry, especially from the beginning part of your sermon, because this text in Ephesians 4 is actually what we base the ministry off of. We call it equipped, because equipping sounded weird. So we call it equipped, and the idea is that, just like Pastor has said, once you become a believer in Christ, God indwells in you through the Holy Spirit, and he equips you by giving you a gift so that you can serve the church and the community. And so one of our main emphasis on Wednesday nights is to recognize what gift God has given our children who have accepted him, and then helping them learn how to use that to serve the church and the community around them. And so that's really exciting. The second group of people that I want to recognize is our parents. And I just want to say that our young families are a huge encouragement to me. And you guys love each other so well. I love how well you love. And I'm so thankful to witness the way that you care for one another and truly invest in the lives of each other. You're there to meet each other's needs and to continue that. And I'm proud to say that I'm a member of Lakeland Baptist Church, where we have families who love each other so well. And I'm unashamed to welcome guests upstairs into those Sunday school classrooms, because I know that they're going to be welcomed and they're going to be cared for and invested in. So that means so much to me that I'm a part of a church who loves each other so well and that aspect. With that said, our young families do care for one another, but there's another need that they have, and that is for those who are older than them and have gone before to invest in those families. Most of these families are here because they've moved for jobs in the DFW area. They're not close to family, for one, but a lot of them also come from broken homes where maybe their parents aren't the spiritual leaders. Maybe they're the first generation of spiritual leaders for their family, and they need our older Christians to come and to come alongside them and help lead them where they need to go as a Christian parent and as a church member here at Lakeland. And so that's where some of you might need to step in and be willing to come alongside these families. And a great way to do that is to serve in our children's or preschool ministries. That's a great way to recognize who they are and the needs that they have spiritually and physically, emotionally sometimes. And sometimes they just need some encouragement from those who have gone before and know it's hard to be a parent. They know it's hard to teach your child Christian values in a world that's teaching them something quite contrary. And so that's one encouragement, a place we need. I lead a small group of our fourth grade girls on Wednesday nights, and I can honestly say that's probably the highlight of almost every week I have, is my 30 minutes with them, just to pour into them the wisdom and knowledge that God has given me, and to see them catching that and growing in their walk. And so some of our older adults might need to be doing that with some of our younger adults and just pouring into them the wisdom and the gifting that God has given them. But also on Wednesday nights, we are teaching kids different skills, trying to develop those gifts and find out what they're doing. And so Lynn Kaiser is one of our leaders on Wednesday nights, and he's teaching a group of kids how to play guitar so that we can build some future worship leaders up here and some skills. Merrick Ford, we're going to give you a run for your money, so get ready. But we also have like John Knotts teaching our kids shop, so kids who are interested in working with their hands, we're developing that skill so that they learn that this gift that God has given me, or this passion, is something that I'm supposed to use for the church and I'm supposed to use to serve the community around me. So I'm so thankful for this sermon. I'm thankful for the opportunity that you've given me to hold this microphone. And we'll have a table set up. If you're interested in serving with preschool ministry, our parents, if you're just interested in loving on them, do that. I've made it very easy to target who they are because they have bright neon stickers on their shirts every Sunday. So there's a heads up for you on that, but love on them well. And if you want to come love on their kids with me and get that passion and just that encouragement that I get every week, then come see me at the table after church today.
All right, thank you. Put that over there. Yeah, thank you. Let's give Morgan a hand. Morgan's ministry is just one ministry within our church. We have so many other places where you could serve in addition to children's ministry. If you're not currently plugged in, here's the thing, guys. We have so many people who are doing double duty in many other phases of the church. And so oftentimes they're pulled away from church service and gathering because we don't have some people who aren't plugged in anywhere contributing to take that pressure off and to ease that burden where we need other people plugged in. So what we've done this morning is we've given you an insert, and we've done this before. It's in your bulletin. It lists various service opportunities here at Lakeland Baptist Church. You could serve at our Welcome Center ministry, our greeter team, our hospitality ministry, adult Sunday school, student ministry, preschool and children's ministry, and also worship ministry. What we want you to do this morning is to pray as we bring this service to a close and we have our response time at the end about where God would have you plug in. Whether you're young, you're a young adult, or whether you're a senior in our church and you've been out of service for a while, we want everybody, if you're physically capable, to get back in on what God wants you to be doing here at Lakeland Baptist Church. So would you please sign this, if you're not plugged in, saying, hey, I'm interested in learning more about this ministry. We're very flexible here at Lakeland. If you sign up for a ministry and say, I want to try this out, we will give you a get out of ministry free card to go try something else. If that did not work for you, we're not going to keep you somewhere where you're not excited and passionate about it. So what you need to do at the end of the service, fill these out, and we're going to have ushers at our doors as we exit, and they're going to be taking these up. And then also out in our lobby, we're going to have tables set up. And we're going to have some of our leaders out there at those various tables. If you're interested in learning more about a specific ministry, they're going to be there to answer questions for you about children's ministry or worship ministry or student ministry and how you might possibly get plugged in. Being a function or being a church member that contributes to the health of the church, first of all, means being a serving member, a member who's actually coming and functioning and being a part of what God is doing here in your local church. Number two in this text, we see that being a church member that contributes to church health, it means not only being a serving member, but also being a unifying member. Notice what verse 13 says. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. As God's people are equipped by the spiritual leaders, and as they get involved in serving in the church, this produces something else. It produces unity within the church. And we see here that all church members have a responsibility to be members that are concerned with uniting the church. This word unity, it speaks of a state of oneness. Being in harmony, being in one accord. The word denotes oneness, agreement, solidarity. It pictures peace among God's people in a local church. You could think of the expression that we often use. All of God's people are getting on the same page. We are together. This unity, which God expects all church members to be a part of, it first of all involves a unity of the faith. We're all in common agreement about the faith which we hold dear, the gospel message and its important truths and the implications of that gospel for our lives. We agree upon the fundamentals of the faith. And then there's unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. This speaks about us having a personal knowledge of Jesus. We're all in unity in seeking to be more like Jesus Christ in our pursuit of the same gospel and our pursuit of the same Lord. It brings us together. We have this serious responsibility as church members to be members who are seeking to bring the church together rather than to tear it apart or to divide it. Do you remember back in the 2006 to 2009 years when Terrell Owens played for the Dallas Cowboys? Many of you remember that. Got some hands going up. Former ESPN analyst Skip Bayless, he had a name for Terrell Owens during those years when he played for Dallas. He developed this name as a play on Terrell Owens' initials, T.O. Skip Bayless would often refer to Terrell Owens on his show on ESPN First Take, where he would debate with Stephen A. Smith. He would call him Team Obliterator, T-O. The reason he called Terrell Owens Team Obliterator is it seemed that every team Terrell Owens was a part of, there was usually some kind of discord, fracturing disunity that developed within the locker room. Every team he played for, instead of that team coming together as a cohesive unit and being united together, it seemed there was division that erupted. He didn't bring the teams together. He seemed to tear them apart. Sadly, there are some Christians that we could label COs, church obliterators. They actually join churches, and Tom Rainer has written on this. They call them church bullies. They come in unsuspecting. They have the lingo, and they appear to have the testimony. But in joining a local church, they're actually centered, their focus is on getting their personal preferences met. They're concerned about their needs and their selfish wants rather than gospel priorities. And they cause all kinds of destruction by the deceitful gossip that they spread throughout a congregation and all of the things that develop because of their poor, selfish attitude in the church. And you say, Pastor Donald, are there really church members like that? Absolutely. There are those kinds of church members. And those kinds of church members are unbiblical church members. A church member who is following Christ is to be a church member that's not divisive, but a church member who is unifying. You know what it tells the rest of the congregation and pastoral staff when you have a church member who's constantly trying to breed some kind of disruption and some kind of discord in the body of Christ? It reveals to the church at large and to the church staff that that person is not as close to Jesus as they try to let on and as they try to communicate. Because notice what Paul says, this unity, it surrounds a unity of faith concerning the gospel and of a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. You show me a church member that's always trying to divide the church and is not rallying around the mission and the leadership of the church, and I'll show you somebody that is being deceptive and not walking closely with Jesus. Because Jesus never seeks to divide his church. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 16 and 19 give us a warning. It says, there are six things which the Lord hates, and seven of them are an abomination to him. He hates haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, and feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies. And listen to this last one. This is something God hates. One who spreads strife among brothers. The person who spreads strife is a troublemaker. They are the person that is intent on breaking people apart instead of bringing them together. God despises that kind of a contentious action and attitude in his people. Every church member should have it as their goal in building up the church to be a serving member, and then number two, to be a unifying member. And you say, how do I bring the church together rather than tear it apart? Let me give you four quick answers. Number one, stay in the Word of God and know the gospel. Stay in God's Word. God's Word will keep you on track. Think about the gospel daily and its implications for your life. Number two, give your heart over to Jesus each and every day. You and I are too sinful. We cannot afford to think that I can take a break from Jesus today. Your sin is deceitful, Satan is deceitful, and this world is deceitful. Make sure each and every day you're spending time with him and you're saying, Lord, here is my heart. I give it to you. I want to be your servant today. Number three, don't gossip and don't listen to gossip. In gentleness, if you have a brother or sister in Christ who begins to gossip, to tell lies, to talk about things that they know nothing about, oh, I heard this or I heard that, in gentleness and in love, shut it down. Let them know that you don't have trash can ears in a polite way, and let them know that you hope that what they're telling you will stop with them, and they're not going to spread that any farther. And then number four, forgive as Jesus has forgiven you. The church is made up of sinners saved by grace. I don't do things perfect all the time. You don't do things perfect all the time. What we are to do in showing each other the kind of forgiveness that we should is we're to look to Jesus, who has forgiven you and I of everything that we've ever done or will do. And then we're to say, you know, my brother or my sister who's transgressed against me here, I don't need to have a heart of bitterness against them. I'm going to show them the same kind of grace and forgiveness that God has shown me in Christ. If you will practice those four disciplines, you will be a member that unifies the church rather than divides it. To build a healthy church, church members must be serving members, unifying members. And then number three, we must be maturing members. Look at verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. This phrase here, it literally speaks about a mature man, someone who's perfect, who's fully grown. The goal that God has for us, which is further defined as the fullness of Christ, it speaks of someone who's becoming everything that God wants them to strive for in imitating Jesus Christ. Do you know God's ultimate goal for you? It's to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those whom God foreknew, he predestined, listen to this, God predestined them to be conformed to the image of his Son. Your destiny is to be like Jesus. Everything in the church, outside of it, in your family, trials, health, whatever, education, God intends all of that to be used in your life, even all your failures, to develop you, to make you more like Christ. Cam Newton is the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. He did a video not long ago where he shared about a note that he wrote to Panthers owner Jerry Richardson shortly after they drafted him to be on their team as their starting quarterback. This is what Cam said. "Before I even got drafted, I wrote Mr. Richardson a note. And in that note, I state that there's no doubt in my mind that I will and I want to be the greatest football player to ever play this game." Most of us would applaud and celebrate the fact that a person in their chosen career profession would say, "I want to be the best that I can be." But let me put a little caveat in on that. Do you want to know something that I desire to be above being the best pastor I can be? Above being the best husband that I can be? Above being the best son that I can be? Above being the best brother that I can be? You want to know my ultimate desire in my heart is to be the best Christian I can be. I want more than anything else in my life to be as much like Jesus as possible this side of heaven. I want to think with the mind of Christ. I want to serve with the heart of Christ. I want to have everything about me and my character and my conduct conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Randy, more than being a great doctor, you should desire to be a great Christian. Terry Cantwell, more than being a great insurance agent, you should desire to be the best Christian you can be. Regardless of your professions, our ultimate goal is to be as much like our Lord and Savior as possible. And He's the one who humbled Himself, came to this earth, bore our sins and our judgment, and arose for our justification. And I can tell you this morning, based on the Word of God, He deserves our best. He deserves for us to strive to become like Him as much as possible. Being a church member means if you're going to build up a healthy church, that you're desiring to be a maturing member. And that's going to require, as I've already said in this message, you start off every day setting your heart on Jesus. Don't take a day off from His Word. Don't take a day off from prayer. And when you come to this church to gather together with us to worship, you desire in your heart to say, "I want to represent Jesus well today." To my Sunday school class members, to our church guests, to my pastor and our staff, I want to give as much consistency to my profession of faith that I'm becoming like Jesus as is possible on a Sunday morning. And then last of all, we see in this text, to build up a healthy church, church members must not only be serving members and unifying members and maturing members, but they must also be loving members. As we are maturing, verse 14 shows us that our childlike ways will fade away, that fickleness, that up and downness that characterizes a small child, that begins to dissipate. And then in its place, as we're maturing, we're going to become men and women who are showing each other the greatest of Christian graces and virtues. And what is that? It's love. Look in verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head of the church, even Christ." In verses 15 and 16, we see that the last responsibility articulated in this passage for church members is for them to be loving members. In our hearts, there should be this genuine, deep concern and affection, this high regard for our brothers and sisters in the faith. Jesus said, "It's by this that all people will know that you're my disciples." It's the love that you have for one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, Paul says, "Out of all the Christian virtues, the greatest of these is love." And he says in that same passage, you can do whatever you want by means of service, but if it's void of love, it's worthless. It profits you nothing. A church member who's loving, do you know what that church member will do? Number one, that church member will speak truth in love. We're going to hold fast to the gospel, and we never compromise on it. It may be hard to say the truth that we need to say at times to one another, but in love, we will say what needs to be said because we're faithful to the gospel. And to love someone ultimately is to tell them what they need to hear. And we never compromise our message. We speak the truth in love. But this word speak, it also denotes doing. So we're not only going to speak the truth in love, but we're also going to do. We're going to live God's truth in love. Whatever we do by way of serving in the church, we're not doing it for our own reasons to be recognized. We're not doing it to get some kind of a special perk, to have our name recognized, or to one-up another person. But whatever we do in service in the church, we're doing it because we love Jesus and we truly love one another. And then thirdly, we cooperate in love. As we read on in verse 16, from whom, referring to Christ, the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, it causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. All of us, because we're unified, we get on the same page, and we're going to say, we love Jesus so much, we love our church so much, that we're actually going to fulfill our God-given responsibilities at Lakeland Baptist Church. And we are going to do what Christ is calling us to do because we want to see our church healthy and strong and growing and developing to become as much like Christ as possible. What are the responsibilities of a church member in building up the church? Being a serving member, being a unifying member, being a maturing member, and being a loving member. That's what meaningful membership involves. It involves a commitment to attend regularly, and it involves a commitment to say, I'm going to put the interests of the church above my own because I want to see Lakeland Baptist Church become what God knows this church can become. And that requires all of us coming together in love, doing our part, growing in Christ, and adhering faithfully to one another. F.F. Bruce says in his commentary in Ephesians, he says, the glorified Christ provides the standard at which all of his people are to aim. The corporate Christ, referring to the body, cannot be content to fall short of the perfection of the personal Christ. What he's saying there is when you take a look at Jesus, none of us can ever be content to say, I want to be anything less than my Lord and Savior, because God's called us to strive for that kind of maturity, that kind of development, that kind of holiness. You say, how can I be a unifying, serving, maturing, loving member? I'll tell you right now, you can't do it on your own. This text shows in those latter verses, verses 15 and 16, that the only way this kind of growth takes place is it comes from the head. Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ works in our hearts to empower us, to transform us. And as we submit to Him, He enables us to serve. He helps us bring the church together. He helps us to love those people that are difficult. He helps us to grow and to become more like Him. It's not anything any of us can do on our own, but when we submit to Him, we start to become more like Jesus. And as we individually become more like Jesus, our church as a whole starts to become more like Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've been a member of Lakeland Baptist Church for a long time, and you're not plugged in service in some way, my appeal to you this morning, take the insert that we've given you, mark some area of interest that you have in serving here at Lakeland. Please give it to one of our ushers as you exit. We want to do our best to help connect you and get you to serving as God wants you to. It's for your best that you're serving, because through your service, God is going to work in extraordinary ways in your heart. And maybe you're here with us this morning and you're not a member of our church. The church life is new to you. You're still trying to figure all of this out. The most important thing you need to know this morning is that you need to become a part of the body of Christ. And become a part of the body of Christ, that means you're recognizing there's one true God and you're a sinner who's rebelled against Him and you're under His judgment. You're separated from Him. But Jesus Christ came into this world 2,000 years ago, the Son of God. He was fully God, fully man. He lived a perfect life in your place. And He died for the penalty of your sins. He took your judgment and your sin upon Himself in His death. And on the third day after being put in a tomb, He came back from the dead. He is the resurrected Lord and Savior that God sent into this world who now has power over death and sin. And to become a part of His body, to be united with Christ, you must come to a point where you're willing to say, I'm ready to turn from my own selfishness and sin. And I'm ready to submit my life to Jesus. I believe in who He is and what He did. And I want Him to lead my life from this day forward. If you need to make that decision this morning, or you just need to talk with one of our pastors on staff, we're going to have them up front this morning. Would you please stand during this time of response? Father, please take this message, work it into our hearts in Jesus' name.